You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
Great. How are you guys doing today? We good? Perfect. We continue in our series, We Are Church, today. Next week, we're going to be wrapping it up. Mike Greenwood is going to be taking us home in that series. Excited to hear next week as he preaches on communion. It'll be a good time next week. Make sure you don't miss it. So my son, James, he's 5 years old. He's about to turn six this week, and there's something that he loves. He loves to play Legos. I know we just dismissed the kids, but any adults who want to also admit that they love Legos still, come on now. Yeah, for sure. I see you guys up there, for sure. So as he's getting bigger, he is getting more and more, the builds, the Lego sets are getting bigger, and they're getting much more involved the older he gets. What used to be maybe a 10-minute small little Lego project is now turning into quite an ordeal. And if you've ever put together Legos, you know it comes with a booklet, right? It's the step-by-step. Which piece do you add at this time? And so what we'll do is we'll put the Lego pieces out. We got the Lego set, and we start looking for the pieces. But as we're looking for the pieces, he also will identify, he'll find cool pieces. Well, this is cool. Well, this should go right here, because this little flame thing or this little cool jewel or this, you know, this piece is a cool color. Let's put it here because I like it. Or even worse, he'll find a piece that he likes and he goes, you know what, this would be great. This would be really cool on my car that I built yesterday. And he starts taking pieces away and putting it in other places. Like, buddy, if you want to get to the finished product of what is on the cover of this, the reason we bought this, the reason why we're putting it together, we have to follow the steps. We have to put this together. We need to follow the directions. If you want it to turn out, we need to follow the directions. We've been in this series, We Are Church. And church, let me remind you as well, we too need to follow the directions, don't we? Not enough for us as we talk about church and be church together to add cool pieces here and there, whichever way we would like to. And it's not up for us to take something that belongs in church and decide to put it elsewhere and in our own spot. There are directions. There is a manual. There is a plan. And we do not get to disorderly meetings, as we've been here Sunday mornings, that we're in a critical spot as a church right now. If there was ever a time for us to look at the blueprint and make sure that we got it right, this would be that time for us as a church. This would be the time to make sure that we have not added our own piece or neglected a piece. The reality is we need to look at the plans again, and we need to remind ourselves the plan to make sure that we're functioning as we're supposed to. So we've needed to remember what a member is. Quite honestly, just raise the bar of what we say a member is and what the role of member is. We looked at those characteristics. We talked about representing Jesus to the world. We need to make sure we know what a member is and is not. We talked about ways that we've diluted that a little bit. We've diluted what the meaning of member is for church. We need to raise the bar in how we think of that according to what the New Testament teaches. And then last week, we looked at the role of deacon. They're serving as qualified members for the support of the elders as they serve for the physical needs of the church. Such an important job. And I've been so encouraged this last week as I've had conversations with many of you. Just sort of processing that and talking about that, and what would that look like to apply that here as part of the church that Jesus is building, as perception of what deacon is has been heightened of the place of the honor and the importance and the role that that plays in church. Each of these weeks has had areas to correct and rethink. We've been honest about it from here, the pulpit, as we've been teaching on it, but we've also, outside of any of our gatherings, we've been pouring dozens and dozens of hours into making sure that we're aligning in these roles and following the blueprint as to what we've seen here according to member and deacon. And it's been really awesome to see that stuff happening. It should not surprise us, really, that as we've moved towards that, we've seen unity and we've seen momentum, and we've seen excitement, and we've seen effectiveness within that. And this week is no different. This week, we look at the role of the elder. And to do so, we'll need to look at what we've missed in this role, and we also need to do the hard work of applying that outside anything that I could say in this sermon. And so with that, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. I want to take us a little bit through what we see biblically about the role of elder in a couple of different passages. So where a lot of times we like to camp out in one passage, this week we're going to be hitting a couple of different passages so that you can see the biblical teaching on elder. Just a little bit of background for this passage. The church has continued to grow, but it should not surprise us, I guess, that it has come at a cost and with a little bit of a struggle. Stephen has been killed. James has been killed. Peter has been thrown in prison. The church has been scattered. Paul's been traveling around in the midst of this, preaching the truth of Jesus in the synagogues. People continue to be saved, continue to be baptized, and join church as members of church, even in the midst of that persecution. So Paul stays in these regions, and what he'll do is he'll invest time and energy into discipling these new members, into helping them learn and grow what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But before they depart the region, before Paul moves on to plant another church, he has one more task to do here in Acts chapter 14. They've discipled, they've set an example, they've poured their lives into these people. What could be missing? Look at verse 23. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Before they leave, there's one more important thing that they need to do, and that important thing is that they appoint elders within the church. But it's each of the churches that they had planted. You see this role that is there for each of the churches. Members are growing and being encouraged. Well, what they needed before Paul moved on was someone to stay and then to invest and be part of that work. And you can see that this appointing of elders is not done flippantly. Actually, it's done with prayer and fasting as they commit them to the Lord, which really just underscores the importance of what is happening here. It should not be taken lightly. The call for elder is not just for anybody. Not done without prayer and fasting. It's weighty. You can feel that here. It's approached with such seriousness because of the impact and the importance that falls within that role of elder. Now, who are these elders? What were they commissioned for? What was their role? Well, Acts 14 doesn't really tell us that. Really, what we see from the creation of this role here is really just that it's important and that Paul needed to put someone in place before he left. But we don't really see what they're doing and what they're carrying out. What we do get is the word elder, though, and we can glean something from that word elder. The word elder, they would have had many associations with them, probably two, to be specific, okay? When they would have heard that the appointed of elders, they would have probably thought two things. One is religious elder. There were already religious elders in Judaism. You can read about the elders and the chief priests side by side as they talk about putting Jesus to death. There was this role of elders. That's obviously not what Paul is placing into the church at this time. The word origin, though, and what would have really jumped off the page for them with this word elder is a position within a family. Within the family, it was someone with influence over the entire family. They were seen as the head, or they were seen as one with authority. So it should not surprise us that there's a family relation connection to this word when the members are all family together, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We see that language of elder being brought into the family of God as they would all connect that to their own families and the elders that they had within their own tribe. The elders, then, according to this family role, are experienced, trusted, loved, endeared, honored men of the family. They're the ones that you go to for wisdom and look to as an example, as they have experience. They have authority. They talk and people listen. And the word elder is used, some of those connections would have been made for them. But really, like I said, we don't see from that what their specific role is. We start to get a little bit more of that in Acts 20. So flip over to Acts 20 with me. Paul, in this passage, is saying farewell to the Ephesian elders that are there in that region. He's about to leave this group of elders, and listen to what he says to them. We're going to start in verse 25 and read through 32, and let's see if we can pick up a few of these things about the role of who these elders are and what they do. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says, "And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It's a powerful interaction here that Paul has with these elders. And there's one thing that shines through in all of this text of what this role of elder means. The role of elders are shepherds. See in verse 28, they're told to pay attention to the flock, the members, the people in which they are overseeing are seen as sheep, the flock, which would make them the shepherds. Verse 30 talks about the danger of wolves. That would be the role and responsibility of a shepherd, to make sure that they were fending off any threats or dangers to the sheep that might come and try to harm them. Elders are shepherds. The imagery of Jesus' followers being sheep is rooted all the way back to Jesus. Remember, he called himself the good shepherd, and that the sheep know his voice and they follow him. And so here Paul gives the job of elders, the job of those seen over the sheep as shepherds. He gives elders that job to be shepherds over the church. Well, what does it mean for elders to shepherd the church? What does that entail? Well, from the passage, we see two specific things about what it means to shepherd well over the flock that is entrusted to them. Number one, an elder shepherds by caring for spiritual needs of the sheep. An elder shepherds by caring for the spiritual needs of the sheep. So just quick pause for 1 second. Last week we talked about deacons, right? And that they're looking for physical needs and to meet and serve in that way. Right now you can start to see the difference here. Elders are looking primarily after the spiritual needs of the flock. Look at verse 28. It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to care for the church, which he obtained by his own blood." Pay attention to the flock. Care for the flock. The shepherd, the elder, knows the needs of the sheep and is able to care for them. But a good question is, I mean, what does it mean to care? I mean, I could use the word care about a lot of things. I care that the Bulls lost 2 straight games. I care that the flavor of the day at Culver's was great yesterday. Like, I care about a lot of different things. What is this care? What does it mean for the elders to care about the needs of the sheep? Well, we can learn a lot about those needs and that care as we look to our chief shepherd and how he talked about caring for the needs of the sheep. How did he care? How did Jesus care for the needs of the sheep? When Jesus is having breakfast with the disciples after his resurrection, he's having this exchange with Peter. the one who he said he was going to build his church on this rock. That Peter, he's having an exchange. And he asked Peter three times the same question, if he loves him, right? He was like, yes, 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 I love you. But Jesus' replies to those is what? Feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus was very engaged on caring for the needs of the sheep. And when he talked about it as tending and feeding. To care is to feed. It's to teach. It's to instruct. It's to see the sheep, the members, as they profess faith in Jesus, to come in and not stay in the same spot spiritually, but to grow and to mature. The elders are to see after that feeding and that caring. To care is to spiritually lead a lamb to move beyond the milk that they may start with in infancy and to get to the meat of maturity and growth. To care is to make spiritual deposits in the lives of the sheep that will blossom into a life of faith in Jesus, reliance on the Holy Spirit, a life dependent on the vine as they abide day in and day out in who God is. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. I think we got this first slide, so we'll just throw it up here on the slide here. I'm going to read it here too. It tells us a little bit more about elders as they pour into the spiritual needs of the church. Listen to verse 11. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. These are all gifts that God has given to the church. For what purpose? It says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son. To what? To mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see it. You see the job of elders here is to take wherever we might be at maturity-wise as a flock and to be pouring themselves into. You can see why as Paul is about to leave and go to another region, he's like, listen, I'm going to put elders in charge. I'm not going to be the one here to be investing in and discipling and leading and teaching and preaching and equipping. But I'm going to leave people who are, and that's the elders, for building up of the body towards maturity, a fullness of Christ. The elders of this church should be actively discipling the body, seeing the sheep, making these spiritual deposits into the lives of each sheep as they feed them. See, are sort of all used interchangeably. What's up with that? That's right. Because truly, each elder is holding the same role within the church as pastor. It's different because the members, for myself as pastor, they have pulled resources together to provide for my financial needs, to allow me to invest in the spiritual needs of this church full time. That's pastor. When you affirm an elder into the role, what you're affirming them into the role is pastor, teacher, shepherd. So, praise God, we have 11 elders, pastors, teachers, who are all unleashed on the flock of Jesus Christ here at Bethel to care for them spiritually, to be seen to their growth and to their maturity. Colossians 1:28 has been my ministry verse. I really gleaned it from Pastor Sean as I was mentoring under him. And listen to this as in kind of the charge that he gives here. It says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy, that he powerfully works within me. You see, like I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I'm warning, and the whole purpose of it, so we can present people mature in Christ. I love seeing that in youth ministry over the years. You get the seventh grader coming in. And over the course of these 6 years, you have these leaders pouring into them and discipling and teaching and training. And you start to see them talk different, act different, live different as they get more mature. This is what we toil and struggle with all of his energy. So we believe that growth and fruit comes entirely from God. These are the results of the work of God. But one of the ways that he brings that about actively within the body of Jesus is through his shepherds that he has appointed on earth as they teach and as they pray and as they care for the sheep. spiritually. One of the greatest spiritual deposits in my life might surprise you over the last 11 years. One of the greatest spiritual deposits in my life over the last 11 years has been sitting in elder meetings. Seriously. And I say that because as I sit there, I'm watching these godly men wrestle with Scripture, praying desperately to God, trusting God for provision, speaking and teaching in wisdom. I've gleaned so much from that in action just in my own personal life. But we as a body, we've seen the elders strive to do this. As an elder stands in the pulpit to preach or to teach in a class or a Bible study, we see it when they lead prayer times like today in the community. As you go to each one of those spots, I've seen it in Al Walton. He started to get us going on prayer. He's like, guys, we need to be better at praying. He was right. He's like, I'm going to set a time for us to pray. We're like, cool, what time? He's like, 5:30 in the morning. We're like, wow, that is early. But there he was with his Zoom window open at 5:30 in the morning, praying for the members of this church, faithfully caring for the needs, spiritual needs of this church. I've seen it as our shepherds faithfully care for the sheep who have wandered, who have questioned, who have been hurt, who have rebelled, and who have been complacent. We see one more element in this passage of what it means to care for the flock spiritually. There's this element of teaching and praying in those spiritual deposits, but part of the care for the flock comes with a bit of a warning. It involves protection against those who would come in and try to destroy the very foundations of their faith and maturity that they're trying to build up. Verse 29 describes fierce wolves. Wolves and sheep, what do you think? Friends or not? Not. Wolves mixed in with sheep. Good outcome or bad outcome? These are the easiest questions you'll get all week. This is a really bad situation. And so the warning here is, hey, be on the lookout for wolves. Who are these wolves? Well, they are in the passage described as ones who are speaking twisted things. They draw people after them instead of the truth of Jesus. There's false doctrine. There's theology that might lead you off the truth of who Jesus is. Wolves are said to not spare the flock. What they're doing is evil. And it's directed directly at the church members who are looking to represent Jesus in the world. The elders are to have eyes wide open to make sure such wolves did not get to the flock. They protect the flock from false teaching. They protect the flock from philosophies that can infiltrate the church, which are leading us away from the maturity in which the elders are supposed to be depositing into our lives on a regular. Verse 31, Paul instructs the elders to be alert about these wolves. And he shows that what he did to help be alert when he was in that role, it says he admonished everyone night and day. He was pretty passionate about making sure that no one went off to these false philosophies, false doctrines, false theology. We talked about this as we studied the book of Galatians, that our theology really drives our practice. And so if we start to get off in any of that, it takes away from all of the maturity that we're supposed to be gleaning and going towards if we start to follow these wolves and leave the doctrine that we've been given. So here's what shepherding looks like for caring for the needs of the sheep. As elder shepherds, they care for the flock by feeding them deeply from the word, praying and teaching towards their spiritual maturity, and protecting them from anyone who would try to take that away from them. It's a really important job. It's a really important role. And if I could just make one quick connection real fast for you, can I just highlight again in the context of this whole series how important this makes membership, right? Because we said membership is declaring, hey, I've put my faith in Jesus, and then you're a member of the church. If the elder's job is to care for the spiritual needs of the members of the church, you can see why membership is so important, because as we bring you into membership, We are putting you front and center on the radar of every elder to say, those are my people. I'm caring after the souls of these individuals. I'm looking to deposit spiritual maturity into these individuals to help them grow. So whatever your year has been or whatever your week has been, no matter where you're at in your maturity or lack thereof, whether you're in a season of doubt or harvest and growth, the elders have eyes on each member to care for their spiritual growth. Church membership is important. It works in the function of elder. All right, second thing that this passage, Acts 20, gives us about what it means to be a shepherd. An elder is a shepherd by leading with authority over the sheep. The elder has a role, and that is one of authority over the rest of the flock. We got to wrestle a little bit with today what this idea and concept is of authority. We can see it when we look at a flock of sheep. Clearly, we want someone to be over actual literal sheep because they need someone to lead them. The food, away from danger, protecting from wolves, all that stuff. It gets a little bit harder when we want to talk about ourselves needing to be led with someone over authority over us. Some of that is our history here, but some of that is just our culture and our society. So what does this authority entail and what does it not entail? What does it mean for an elder to shepherd with authority? You can see in verse 28 of Acts 20, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That word there, overseers, is super important. What's an overseer? An overseer is one who's been put in charge or put over. The overseer, the elder, is one who has been given authority to lead over the rest of the flock. They've been given authority. Well, wait a minute. Who gave them that position? Well, in this passage, it says the Holy Spirit. That's a comfort and that's a rest to know that the Holy Spirit is involved in this whole process of giving authority in a position of leadership. It's God ordained, which means it's God's design to put an elder in a position to lead for the benefit of the flock. So what does this authority look like? What does this leadership look like? I mean, honestly, it just seems a little bit risky to put a bunch of humans in charge of oversight of something as important as the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to make three quick stops on what good authority from your elders looks like biblically. The first is this: good authority submits to God. As Paul departs, he says in verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. In other words, there's one authority that is over the elders. Paul, he passes the baton to the elders, and he's like, and actually, I'm commending you. I'm giving you over. Actually, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 both speak to qualifications for the elders. I said this last week. We should really know these passages. The role of overseer and elder and pastor is such an important job. They too have qualifications. Not just anyone can just step into this role and lead out in this way. You can see the qualifications laid out in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And we should know these qualifications for a number of reasons. Number one, every single time that we get together as members to affirm in an elder into that position, we better know the qualifications that we are affirming and saying, yes, they demonstrate this godly character. But we should also know, because we're also as members, side by side, living towards sanctification and holding them accountable to these qualifications. Here's the thing with authority. Good authority is qualified. Here's the beauty of it. Authority, good authority, is always partnered with godly character. Sometimes we can push back against the idea of authority as if authority is the thing that is bad. Authority is not bad. Authority is good. But it must be partnered with character and integrity and godly character that we see laid out in these passages given to us. So we could spend a whole sermon just looking at the qualifications. I think we have a slide for them. If you want to throw this passage up, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. I think we have some of it here. We could spend an entire sermon talking about these qualifications. Much of it falls in line with what I said last week about deacons. Interestingly enough, there is an addition to the qualification of elder, and that's to be able to teach, which shouldn't surprise us because that's so much of what their role is to be teaching and caring for the spiritual needs of the flock. Read through the list, though. We got some of it up here. These are honorable men, above reproach, leading his family well, thought of well by outsiders. They've walked the road. They've been found faithful. They're respectable. They're hospitable. What a benefit for any church to be led and to submit themselves under the authority of leaders, of elders who demonstrate these qualifications in their life. If God is going to give a role to someone to oversee and to shepherd in this way, they're going to be qualified. We could all, if we wanted to, we could all, you know, write our own examples of authority that we've seen just bad. Whether it's in your job place, maybe it's in politics, maybe you've seen it play out in church in some capacity, globally or locally, whatever that might be. We could all have examples of bad authority. But I said this before, I just want to say it again. Authority is not what's bad. If you've had bad examples of authority in your life, it's not the authority that was bad. It's the character in which they carried out their authority. And so as we look at these qualifications, the authority is good that is placed over us as long as they're living out 1 Timothy 3 and living out Titus 1 and these qualifications of a godly, mature follower of Jesus. Step three about what good authority is good authority leads for God's name and God's glory. For this, I want to flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5. You could turn there. There's a lot here. I just want to read through it. And this is such an integral passage when we talk about eldering. Look at what it says about good authority in leading for God's name and God's glory. He says this, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God." There it is. Elders are shepherds of the flock that is among you. "Exercising oversight," there it is, the authority role that is given to these elders as they shepherd. Check this out, it says, "not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those who are in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." These elders that God has given authority to exercise oversight over the flock, they're to do it in a way that totally is all about God's name and God's glory, and it's not about them. And you can see that as it lays out. It says, not under compulsion, but willing. There's an eagerness to do this, not because of what it means for the elder, but it says, as God would have you. There's an eagerness, hear me on this, to do it God's way. That's good authority. They're not looking for their own way and what seems right in their eyes. They're doing it for the name and the glory of God. But also it says the way that they lead with oversight to your benefit. But hear me on this. A non-domineering way, as this is laid out in 1 Peter 5, is saying they're leading with authority completely for your benefit, for the glory of God, because their job is to invest in your spiritual growth, which is totally for God's glory and absolutely for your benefit. To domineer or lord over the flock is to step out of line with godly character and to start to make it about something else. So hear me on this. Elders should be able to lead boldly and not be accused of domineering. If the leadership is aligned with their godly character and where God is leading and on mission, that's not domineering. If their leadership is aligned in those ways, that's just godly authoritative leadership there. It also says here, as examples, They should be examples and leading by example, their character and their godliness coming out. It says, under the authority of God, the chief shepherd who is over all of them. You get in all of this, this authority that is given to them is not about them and their agenda. It's all about God and who he is. So you can see this idea of authority given to elders. We want them to lead with authority, as long as it's good authority. Authority that's submitting under God. Authority that is qualified according to God. Authority that is leading for the glory of God and not for themselves. We want this shepherding to take place here because that is for our good. When God drew up the blueprints of church, he placed authority, leadership, and responsibilities with the elders of the church. And as they lead in that way, it's a benefit for us. We should be encouraging our elders in their position of authority. And we can do that verbally, and that's really important. That's great to affirm their authority over us in that way. That's important, but even more important is to follow their authority through the actions of our lives. I mentioned this in week one. Here we are back again. Hebrews 13:7 says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, the very next verse in the passage I was just looking at, says, be subject to your elders. So I said this in week one, I'll say it again here. Submitting and obeying is ultimately a posture of trust. As you trust God that he's placed good authority over you and in your life for your benefit, for his glory, for the kingdom, as we all look to represent Jesus to the world. Trusting leadership is not a dream or a good idea or just for some other church. It's for this church. It includes Bethel Community Church. And we do so because we know that that's part of God's design and plan. And we trust that God is the one who has affirmed them and put them into this position. We believe that the Holy Spirit has led to this role. We believe that Jesus is their chief shepherd. We believe that God is the final authority. And God has placed them in this function. And so we walk in trust. Trust that God is leading them as they are leading us. I will add this. Submitting to leadership is also an act of worship. As we submit, we do so joyfully and willingly. And in doing so, we're actually following and obeying God as long as the leadership is not asking you to sin. So a couple of quick things on submitting to leadership. We sort of pull this together and wrap up of what this means for us. Submitting will mean supporting even if you don't understand at points. And that's hard. And we don't want to be in that place a large percentage of the time. We want everyone to understand and we want to make sure that we're communicating well. And we have to continue to work at how we do that. But sometimes submitting will mean supporting even if you don't understand. Which leads to the second point. Elders will not always get it right. And we as a family can and should express our questions, our frustration at points, our disappointment to our elders about that directly in godly ways. But in the end, our call is still the same. To forgive if we need to forgive or to move on if we need to move on and continue to go back to the posture of submitting and following their leadership. We can look back and we can have differing views and we can look at stuff and see different ways that we could have, should have, would have, maybe if this or that. We can talk through all of that, but ultimately in the end, the elders need to be in our hearts back in the place of authority and us in the place of submission to allow them to lead in the way that God has called them to do it. I've served as elder for 11 years and I could go back and look at various decisions over the years. And I could look at stuff, I'm like, yeah, we could have done that differently. We should have done that differently. Man, we really thought that that was right in this time or for whatever reason. And I can look at that and that can disappoint me and I'm sure it's disappointed other people as they've seen that. It doesn't disqualify me as an elder that I can look back on that. It humbles me. And it keeps me dependent on God to say, man, we could have done that differently. And I've learned from that. And hopefully I do that differently next time. And I get that that would be disappointing, but hopefully in that there's a learning that takes place and a togetherness that takes place that we're able to walk forward in. Now, hear me on this. Some cases, it'll be much more serious. It'll be sin. And we've seen that in the lives of pastors or elders. And if it's sin, or asking anyone else to sin, well, that needs to be confronted every single time. To go to that person and speak to him directly. If an elder is sinning or asking anyone else to sin, they should not be in their position of authority. They are disqualified from doing it. There's a lot that we could say about this idea of leadership and authority. And I guess I just want to pull back as we close here and ask, do you see the vision of church in this? Do you see more specifically the vision for elders in church? Take out for a second your own experience for a second. Just biblically what we see here, do you see the blueprint? Do you see the benefit that it would be for members of a church? Do you see God's design to be leading, for them to be leading with authority for the spiritual growth and maturity of the flock? Do you see the blueprint for them caring and protecting? Do not need me to tell you about the wounds that can occur when we don't live this out. You've seen it, you've heard it, you've felt it. But in all of it, I encourage you this morning to not only study that blueprint and to see the vision that God lays out here, but to experience it. And as we're going to see next week, to actually partake in it. Because here's the thing. God's plan for elders in the church is truly beautiful. If we cannot find our way in applying this as elders and as members, the church will limp. It'll be the Lego set that is missing pieces and not going according to the design and plan. If we cannot, as members, joyfully submit to the elders, we're going to limp. And hear me on this. If we as elders do not shepherd the members towards spiritual maturity in the way that we've been called to, we will limp. It's both of those things. And I told you, we'll be honest from here, and we're going to work hard outside of here to be talking about this. And we understand that what's ahead of us is both of those things. To have the ability of allowing the authority, the good authority, to lead out for a church, and also for the elders to be locked in and focused on what is in their lane and what they are supposed to be doing, and to be living that out clearly and to make those deposits. We've been having these conversations, and we've been looking. And like I've said in weeks past, there's work to do. And we can move towards that with God's help, because it's Jesus who builds the church. To continue to walk in this would be to limp towards the vision of church. By God's grace and the work of his Spirit and the certain strength of Jesus who is building this church, I'm praying for our next season ahead that we would be able to walk boldly in this, supporting the elders in the role that they should be, supporting the deacons in the role that they should be, us as members living the role that we should be, everyone living out their role and aligning together to be church. So Bethel Church, today I ask you, will you say today, we are church? Not according to what we've put on or what we've taken out, but according to what he's said the blueprint is. Will you receive that? Members representing Jesus to the world. Deacons serving the physical needs of the church. Elders shepherding the flock to spiritual maturity. I got to tell you, I've said that this is a lot of work, and it's true, it is. But I would be missing something if I didn't say this. I'm really excited about what's happening with all of this. I see momentum and I see traction in this. I am excited, and I know it's not me. I know it's not anyone else. I know it's Jesus building his church. As we've talked about these roles and as we've looked, it's all of us looking to align ourselves with who God is and what Jesus calls us to be part of. We can align ourselves with that, and we can walk forward as the family, as the brothers and sisters, as the members that we've been called to be, representing Jesus to the world. I would not say that if I did not feel that. I'm excited as I see this happening. And I'm praying that we continue to walk forward in that, whatever it might look like. So I want to close this sermon, which I lost track of time. I think we're okay. I want to call our elders up now, and we're going to put on the screen here who our elders are. Some of them are not here today, but our elders who are here today, come on up to the front. We're going to pray for you in this role that you have been commissioned by God to be part of. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team up as well. I'm going to also invite our ushers who are going to be receiving our offering during the next song. This is an important role, and I just want to pray for you all as you shepherd the flock of Jesus. God, I pray for these men up here, God, that you have entrusted to this role of elder. God, give them wisdom and strength and understanding of what it looks like and what it means to shepherd the flock, to care well for the spiritual needs. God, we are so limited in so many ways, and there's so many ways that we find in ourselves that we fall short. God, would you help us to do this well? Not for us or our name, but for your glory alone, God. God, I pray for this church. God, help us to walk, to run forward towards what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.